On today's Compassion Radio.
With the parable of the sower, we've got the hard path and we have the rocky soil and the thorny soil and then that good soil. And started thinking about how priceless the seed is.
Yes.
And that we scatter it. We're hoping that some falls on the good soil. But I thought, God, I've got some neighbors that I'm getting to know through this. And I don't know if they're ready for the seed to be sown in the soil of their heart. But God, why is that path hard? Could you use me through the power of your Holy Spirit to set your furrows deep and begin breaking it up?
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Daily Journal of the Kingdom around the world. How quickly can you master a new skill? Well, in most trades that require a level of proficiency in order to adequately perform, it's often said that it takes 5, 10, or even 20,000 hours of practice. Well, what if you're given 3 weeks and told lives are depending on how well you prepare during these next few days? Well, that would take a miracle. For today's pastors, that is the reality they're living right now. Think about it. Around the world, hundreds of thousands of flocks are scattered and sheltering in place wherever they find themselves. Those called and ordained to ministry are suddenly thrust into a whole new challenge that threatens to undermine the entire kingdom of God. They've never done what we need them to do right now: to be present, invested, inspiring, honest, faithful, and full of faith, all without being able to appeal to us face to face. Yet I haven't met a pastor yet that has said anything but, "I wouldn't be anywhere else right now. This is why I said yes to the call." Two of those special people are Gary and Patty Moreno of Legacy Church in Liberty Lake, Washington. Today we finish up our discussion on what it's going to take to succeed in ministry at a time like this, and what they need from you. Thanks for sharing the next half hour with us. I know it will inspire you in your walk and ministry too.
My message was, imagine the possibilities. And I didn't even realize the fullness of what I was saying, because this thing has seemed to intensify every day. You know, there's this new level of intensity. But just to set in our minds, imagine the possibilities. And I think you mentioned that earlier, Brent, that idea of there's an issue, we have a problem, but the possibilities are endless. And we're poised to become stronger.
Yeah.
When we get to the other side of this, I mean, we got our eye on when we get to the other side of this, there's going to be such a celebration when we get to gather together again. But in the meantime, we're hunkered down and we're having a lot of Zoom meetings. We're fixed on what God has. And I think our people, they sense that.
Yeah.
They sense the confidence, but also the authenticity of the pastors. I think, you know, we can communicate, hey, this thing's happening in real time, people. We don't know where this is ending. And I don't think we have to know. We just have to know who to trust in. We have to know who to anchor in. That's what we're communicating.
In this season, I find myself thinking about the church itself being the sack of seed in the seed and the sower parables, in that we see ourselves as being strong because we're together, and the sower looks at it and sees, I've got a bag of seed to sow. He's not looking at the seed itself saying, oh, this is it. This is the church. He's looking at the field and saying, that's where the church is. And he gets out there and starts yanking all the seed out of its comfortable pouch, throwing it, and it's going to get eaten up by wild animals or land on rocky ground, or some's going to get deep into the soil. But the church is going to go out whether it likes it or not, and it's going to become what the sower intended for it to be, a big crop. I don't want to be afraid of that kind of change right now. I think those of us who are scared of change are scared of it because we're not good with the idea of ourselves changing. Those of us who are excited about the changes God is bringing in us are thrilled with the kind of change that transforms the world through us. And I want to be that kind of seed. You mentioned in your sermon last week, Gary, when you were quoting some other theologians, people are observing that the pandemic itself has really been humbling us. I wondered about that statement, because I've seen a lot of people who haven't been humbled at all, but they're really, really scared. Do you see that the church itself is being humbled by this, or are they just being shocked?
Well, I don't know about the church so much as I think America is being humbled, because America can't figure out why we can't just stop this thing. But I think the church, I go back to that scripture, if my people, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I think it ought to drive us to that place. It's interesting. I'll give you a perspective. It's something I've been watching. This is completely unscripted, and in my heart, I've been watching this and noticing, no matter the size of the churches across the nation, from the very largest churches to the smallest churches, you can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. In other words, I'm watching, I'm watching in some of the, I know they're large churches, most impacted cities. You got a pastor with a couple people in his living room leading a little worship,
yeah,
and he's talking to a camera. There's no difference. The ground has been leveled as far as comparison goes. Let's get the gospel out. And that's what I love seeing. There is a solidarity in purpose. We're together in this, but we're going to be together in action. We're going to get the gospel out. I'm not intimidated by your building because you ain't got one, or you may have one, but there's nobody in it, you know.
Storing air right now. Yeah, in a lot of ways, this is bringing us into the same field as all of the persecuted church around the world that we've focused on so much in this program. We are literally in the same boat. We are in the same room with them. We have the same kind of reach because a lot of these congregations behind closed doors in many close countries do this very thing every week. They open the Word of God and trust that God's going to protect the space they're in and trust that His Word's going to go out over those airwaves, over those internet connections to house churches across their language group anywhere in the world and win souls.
Yes.
And rewrite some futures.
Yes.
So we are joining them in this right now, which I'm thrilled about.
That's right. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Yep.
If Patty's still in the room with you, I'm going to ask you a few more questions about prayer. And I want to ask you about the things that God has surprised the both of you with. This is new territory for everybody, including pastors. But those who are staying attuned to the Spirit and saying, God, help me to know how to pray. Help me to know what you want me to know in the situation, because I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what to ask. What is God impressing upon your hearts that's been a surprise to you?
Well, when you started mentioning the parable of the sower, I'd like to share something I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me yesterday through that text. Hmm. Let me preface it with this. He's been really revealing to me that His ways are so much higher than our way. Mm. His thoughts are higher. You know, people are trying to go, is this from God? Is this from Satan? What's happening here? And we don't have those answers.
We want the why questions answered all the time.
Yeah, the why questions. I don't know if the church has prepared well for that whole theology of suffering, but it is part of our,
if
we look to our Savior, there is that part. But the way that I have been praying, and something that He showed me through the Word, is that with the parable of the sower, we've got the hard path, and we have the rocky soil, and the thorny soil, and then that good soil. And we happen to have our son-in-law, our daughter married a farmer, and I started thinking about how priceless the seed is.
Yes.
And that we scatter it. We're hoping that some falls on the good soil. But I thought, God, I've got some neighbors that I'm getting to know through this. And I don't know if they're ready for the seed to be sown in the soil of their heart. But God, why is that path hard? Could you use me through the power of your Holy Spirit to set your furrows deep and begin breaking it up?
Yeah.
Why are there rocks that are tripping them? What if I could be one that helps lift that heavy load so that soil is not so rocky? Why is it so thorny? What other things have they put their securities in that they're finding, wow, it's all crumbling around me? Well, maybe we can help pull up those thorns. The seed is so priceless, God. Yeah. I pray that this will not be the year of the coronavirus, but the year of the corona harvest, where there will be a great harvest where seed will be planted in soil that is good, because we've tended to our neighbors, we've loved them well, we've served them and stooped down to help them come to understand the beauty of the gospel. So now, God, could that be a harvest that's a hundredfold? And so that is really my prayer, even as we're coming into Easter, that there would be a harvest, an awakening. It's kind of like the children of Israel, the more adversity, they just kept multiplying. And so it's like, God, could you do that through the adversity here and do the deep work? I've been personally praying, God, don't lift this too soon, because I think we are at the point of we're shocked, but I don't know if we're humbled. And I think it's kind of like crooked teeth. You get the braces on and they straighten, but as soon as those braces go off, they just return to their old places. And so, God, allow this season to bear great fruit, lasting fruit, fruit that remains, total life change in people that we don't just go, oh yeah, I knew we'd recover. Yeah, okay, we're back to our old ways, old gods, old thought patterns. Let's have a real genuine deep work of the Spirit of God in our world. So that's what we're praying for.
We discover that God's asking us some new questions too. Are we willing to go die to ourselves in soil that we never thought we'd be planted in? Some of your neighbors are probably going to be people that are very hard, that are not welcoming, that are seemingly impenetrable. And yet God says, I'm going to hammer you right in the very middle of that situation until fruit grows. And I do see that parable is not just us carrying a word, and the word itself is something separate from us. I see ourselves as so intertwined with that experience of his word in our hearts that if we're going to say we're scattering seed, we're saying we're willing to go bury ourselves with that seed and grow together and die to ourselves. I see that happening a lot with your congregation. You've challenged them to come to life by dying to self, and that has always been the way of selfless sacrifice and denying yourself so that Christ would be exalted. And when he is, man, stuff happens. And it's happening right there in your fellowship, and you've been a great example for us.
Oh, man.
Talk about other pastors. You as pastors speaking to people who go to church, what do pastors need from their flocks right now?
Oh, wow. What do pastors need from their flocks right now? I will tell you based on what we are experiencing here, and that is, what is it you need? Let us know how we can serve. I mean, if you can voice that to your pastor, it is like gold.
Yeah.
It is just gold. Let us know how we can serve. I mean, just ready for deployment. Again, as fluid as this situation is, we don't even know what needs are going to present themselves. I got a phone call today from a dear godly man in our congregation. I called him this morning just to check on him, elderly couple, and he said, hey, give me a call when you get a chance. And I called him back, and he just said, Gary, I want to send some money in for your benevolence. Just to be ready to just help people as the need arises. Are you kidding me? That kind of stepping up and initiative and making something happen that way, I think your pastor would feel such support in this.
Yeah, that's a different question than just saying something very general, like, if you ever need anything, give me a call. If there's an expectation in the words we speak that God will in fact use us, and we want to be available to him, and we know that he wants us to be available, and that God will in fact answer that and use us. If we have that expectancy, we don't ask idle questions or ones that are fear-based. We ask questions that are God-based.
Good.
And we tell our pastors that kind of thing. I'm ready to be deployed. When God tells you what that thing is, I'm ready.
Yep.
I know that would mean the world to me.
Yeah. I tell you what, listen to your pastor with Holy Spirit ears.
Friends, if there's something we wouldn't mind being known for, it's this. That Compassion Radio and its partners around the world are crazy for the kingdom of God. When you show God-sized love and compassion for all those he loves around the world, that's the best kind of crazy there is. When the rest of the world thinks that the times we live in are just too crazy to care about others, God reminds us that he hasn't stopped loving, and he still intends to do it through us. Thank you for making Compassion Radio a part of your kingdom giving and action. Here's how to support this ministry and the projects we do together around the world. You can give any time of day at our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. And our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. We can't do this work without you, friends. So thank you for partnering with us today. God bless you.
I tell you what, listen to your pastor with Holy Spirit ears. And what I mean by that is sometimes the pastor doesn't feel real confident to navigate through uncertain waters, or there's a need. And I'm telling you, you go back 2 weeks or 3 weeks on our website and you listen to that last message. I said, today we do not have any equipment for online. If you would love to partner with us so that next week we can make this happen, jump in. And I'm telling you, Graham, there were people that were listening with, I want to be a part of that. I want to make that happen. And they jumped in, and it was unbelievable.
And it's in their own self-interest as well, even just thinking in terms of the church isn't going to function unless we find a way to communicate. So even on that simple level, it's there. I remember a church that was going through a build-out, and the building was taken care of, and they're ready to move in, but there were no chairs yet. So the pastor says to them, next week we're worshiping in this congregation. If you would like to sit sometime during that service, pray right now about what God would have you do to provide seating for yourself and somebody near you. A whole bunch of chairs got adopted that afternoon. You know?
I love it.
And sometimes we have to act their own self-interest, but of course we know it's bigger than that. We are stepping up to the plate because we believe that God wants people out there to know him that have never known him, that would have never known him had they not experienced the crisis that we're all sharing in together.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, it's like that seed, Bram. This will blow you away. It blows me away. When we were done with our first broadcast or our first online service, I think we had 180, 200 views, maybe no more than that. That same service is now nearing 1,000 views from 2 weeks ago, which you get this in the radio.
Yep.
One broadcast just keeps perpetuating.
Yep.
And so that seed is just, it just keeps getting recast and recast and recast. You know what? What an investment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're really blessed.
Already doubled your seed right there.
Right there.
Okay, let me ask you both one more big theme here. Do we really know the power of our own stories in times like this? Do we want God to use us to write this love and mercy story on the world around us? The two of you have a history of being transparent with your own personal struggles and the loss you've faced individually and as family over the years, and you've used that to be honest and bring others close to the power of their own stories in the past. So how do you help prepare people who are probably going to face some grief or tragedy or loss in the weeks and months to come? What are you doing with that, and how important is it that we have a story to tell?
I will say this, and then I'll let Patty speak to it. When we were in the waiting room of the hospital where we lost our firstborn daughter, pronounced dead, she would be 33 years old today, so this has been a long time ago. But the moment is etched forever in our memory. In that waiting room, when the doctor came in and he delivered the news to us that there was no hope, the only person that we wanted to talk to, we got this phone call, someone that we knew had gone through what we were walking through in that moment, the loss of a child. And we got the phone call while we were still in the waiting room.
Wow.
And there was something in us in that moment that just wanted to hear the voice. We were both pressed up against the phone together, and he was talking to us saying, you guys are going to make it. I just want you to know right now it's dark and it's difficult, but you're going to make it. And I'm going to walk with you. And just hearing those words of hope from somebody who had gone through. So, you know what? Yeah, we've walked through some difficult seasons, but we know that God has walked with us. And so we want to be that voice. Honestly, when that camera went on just this last Sunday, I felt our people looking back at me. And I was almost overcome with emotion at that moment to think that some of our people are afraid. Some of our people are uncertain. Some have lost jobs. Their family members that are sick. And all of a sudden, the reality of what we're walking through together and into together, we're together. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world, Bram, than right here.
How about you, Patty?
Yeah, and I would say, as far as people sharing their stories, and I don't know how I'd share it, and mine's not very valuable or, you know, it's laced with pain. There's something so powerful. It's kind of like when the disciples offered Jesus the loaves and the fish, and they seem so insignificant.
What are you going to do with this?
What are you going to do with this? And the beauty was when Jesus gave it back to them, it was transformed.
Yeah.
And he didn't feed the 5,000. He gave them the bread to turn and feed the 5,000.
Yeah.
And because he wanted them to know what it felt like to take their insignificant, the bread in their basket, to turn and see it after it's been in the master's hands, surrendered to him, what he can do with the little we have to offer, what he can do with our stories, what he can do with our experiences. And there's some things that in our life we think, oh, definitely God can use this, but he couldn't use this. And I have found it to be the most busted and broken things in my own life that he's ended up being glorified the most in, because our suffering does link us as humanity. And it's our weakness that we all identify with, and God says that's what he's most glorified through. So that's what I would encourage the body of Christ, is just keep putting all of your experience, that the tangle of mess of all of it, and just see what God can do with it as you surrender to him. And God, can you somehow, some point, allow this to bear rich fruit for your kingdom? He never denies that kind of a request.
The theology of the cross,
that
God's greatest glory is the cross. And we have a hard time getting our hearts around that until we come to a place where we sense that If the cross was not there, I would have nothing in a time like this. There are plenty of people that need to know the power, not just of the resurrection, but of God's willingness to suffer for them. And that he knows what it means to suffer. He knows what it means to be at the edge of losing everything. Yeah. And the two of you have a great amount of compassion. I'm very proud of you for that because you get it. When we start talking about the suffering church around the world, your hearts go right to the people you imagine are suffering and lifting them up because you know you can and you should and because you know what it's like to be there. And there are plenty of people that need to know, like you mentioned, Gary, that someone's gone through this before. Even if this is a novel thing for their entire country or the world to experience together, there is a sense of, I've endured, I've survived, but not just survived, I've been reborn. Those kind of people are the folks you need right now. So I'm praying that God will surround people that hear this program with mentors like that. Thank you for being those kind of mentors to your congregation as well.
Thank you, Brad.
Closing thoughts from the two of you. Could you tell us, if you had to leave one message with somebody out there, and assuming that the person listening right now is a new member of your congregation and you want to get something across right away to say, this is how it's going to go. This is the kind of people we are as a church, as Legacy Church there in Liberty Lake, Washington, as the people of God, as the kingdom on earth right now. Here's what we're about. What would you say to them?
Well, when we say that Jesus rewrites futures, we literally mean that, that it could look like everything in your life is unwinding and unraveling, but God has a way of taking the shattered, shard pieces of all that has exploded around us, and he melds it together in the furnace of his love and makes something that's glorious. And so I would just say, keep looking up, look to him. He's where our hope comes from. He declares that he is our place of safety. And so we can run to him. We can run to him and pound the chest of God. We can run to him with all of our emotions. We can run to him with our gnawing questions. And he is safe and loving and filled with compassion. And so this is a beautiful time to discover who God is in the midst of where life hurts most for individuals. That would be my thought.
And I think mine would be just present yourself before him available. I mean, if I were to get really honest, I've never pastored people through a pandemic. And if I were to get really honest, I don't really know all the steps, what all we need to do. But here's what I say to the Lord. I'm willing and I'm honored to be in this position.
Yeah.
And I'm honored to lead. As long as you'll give me the opportunity, I will stand here and I want to be faithful to the people that you've called us to. And he takes my little bit, he takes my withered hand that I present to him, and he heals and he delivers and he uses that in unbelievable ways. And so I just say, sign me up. I don't have all the answers. I don't have, and I think the Lord says, you don't have to because you have me.
Yeah.
And so we step into this moment, lean into it, and just prepare for what he has. Honestly, I'm not afraid. I feel this nervous anticipation for what God's going to do.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. I there's no other way to explain it. Maybe like when I was a kid and we'd go to Disneyland and I knew there were rides in Disneyland as a little kid that scared me a little bit, maybe a little bit nervous, but it was always a fun ride. It's that same in my gut, this gnawing sense, God, you're doing something. You are working something here.
Indeed.
And I'm so grateful that I get to be a part of it. Lean into it and go.
Yeah, good words, my friends. We're praying for you. And I would say to our listeners, you've got pastors out there, friends. Support them. Pray for them because they are just like Gary and Patty. They have never led you through a pandemic before. You've never lived through a pandemic before in your lifetime. But the pandemic itself is something that is external to the kingdom of God. But we have to internalize the reality of God's presence in us if we're going to make a difference in the only thing that others might be able to see, which is that lens of pandemic. We have more than just a source of strength in the pandemic. We have something that could transform us completely and even transform the experience of being in a pandemic in a way that brings glory to God. What an awesome time to be alive.
Amen.
Gary and Patty Moreno of the Legacy Church up there in Liberty Lake, Washington. Found on the web at legacychurchwa.com. If you want to see what one small church who's starting up and quickly learning the ropes on their technical path towards getting communications out every week and helping people to worship effectively, to pray with power, to keep in the Word, and you're looking for good examples of that, go check out their webcasts. I think you'll be inspired by what you see. Thank you, too, so much, and we'll be checking in with you from time to time as God provides more opportunities and to learn what He did with this crisis in your lives.
Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you. Give everyone our love, Sandy in particular, and, and the kids, and praying for your family, and we love Trevin and Dempsey. They're just gold to us. So
we agree.
You done well, man. They're just a blessing.
Have a great day, y'all.
I love you guys. God bless. Bye-bye.
Our thanks to Gary and Patty Moreno of Legacy Church in Liberty Lake, Washington. If you're interested in their ministry, look for them at legacychurchwa.com. Drop them a line and let them know you heard about them on Compassion Radio. Thanks so much for your prayers and your support of Compassion Radio, especially during this time of great trial throughout the Christian church around the world. We really want to be an encouragement to the entire body of Christ. So let us know how we're doing. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of 2020? Now, to reach us 24/7, to learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. I'm Bram Floria. God bless you, friends.